So our speaker today is Pierre Rousseau, who we've got an audio recording of him. He was first became active in 1965 and identifies as from the generation that paved the path for the mass rebellion in France in 1968. He's been a Trotskyist revolutionary all his life and is a member of the MPA, a founding member of the MPA in France. And just in advance, a quick apology, the audio kind of cuts off a bit abruptly at the end, so there's a couple of bits of his summary that's missing, but overall, I promise it's been a wonderful talk.
But it's what is the most... it's a protest movement, deeply socially rooted, which began on a very specific shoot, which was the rising taxation of gasoline. So this starting point is just a starting point. After the whole set of social issues began beyond the fourth, and not just this specific question of the taxation of the gasoline. But why this issue of taxation of the gasoline is important? It's because it explains who engaged in the movement first. The people who engaged in the movement first were people who were obliged to use their cars each day because they were living in small towns. They had to use their car to go to work, or they had to
bring their children
to school, they had to use their car to shop. So they had to use their car all the time. And they had no alternative, especially because the transport public service has been reduced very much. So they are more, on one hand, they are more and more dependent on the car, because of their private car, because the public services are reduced or destroyed, and at the same time they have to pay more and more for the gasoline. So that was the starting point, and it means it explained that the movement started in many in the periphery, as it is said, in small towns or away suburbs of big towns, and it is not the poorest. The poorest are not don't have a car, but it is most of the time people who have big difficulties making ends meet. It's like this, you say in English, to make ends meet, and so for them. Lose 100 euro per month, for example, it's a real problem. It means that they have to make harder and harder choices on what to spend on what. So it's why it began outside the big urban centers, and it's why people coming from people working in factories, but having a precarious situation, low wage, unable to fight in their factory for increase of wages because the relationship of forces is too difficult. They need each month, they need their pay, they cannot risk their pay. It's bring smaller entrepreneurs, shopkeepers, and so on, who are in a very difficult situation. It brings together also many retired people because the pension have been dripping. The actual pension has been dripping for now quite a while in France. So it's it brought together many people who are on on the limit of survival or not survival, something like that, socially. So it raised as a composite, socially composite movement, but very popular, very popular. And then from, because of that situation, from the original issue of the taxation of the gasoline, it spread on many, many other issues. The issue, because they were accused to be anti-ecological, because officially the tax was to finance the ecological transition on energy. In fact, most of the tax was to pay the debt of the state. But then they raised the contradiction. You cannot ask us, you cannot, on the one hand, say you are doing an ecological politics and at the same time reduce the public services because you've made the car more and more central. So they pointed at that contradiction. So the question of the public services came out. The question of the public services came out by the two ways. This way, as an answer to the government, you pretend to be ecological, then you have to develop the public services. And because, as I mentioned briefly before, because one reason for which they have to use more and more the cars is that they have less and less public services. So the post office in their small town closed down, they have to go somewhere else. The financial administration closed down, they have to go somewhere else. A school closed down, they have to bring each day their kids somewhere else, and so on. So then the question became the cost of life. The cost of life in a more general way, so demands for an increase in the minimum wage or in the wages, and social and financial justice. Because there was a special measure which has been taken for the taxation of the super rich, if you want, before, and Macron, our president, stop it. So they said, we are asking us, the small ones, to pay more and more. At the same time, you ask the very rich ones to pay less and less. So there was this dual aspect. First, we need to increase the level of life. And secondly, we want social justice, both in the wages, in the taxation system, and so on.
Well, that's very clarifying. And I guess what you mentioned, in particular, the fact that it started as a protest movement by people against a fuel tax hike. So it mobilized the people who were immediately affected by that, which, you know, it's, I think I read a statistic, it's some 80% of French people who still own a car and rely on a car as a necessity. So that seems to match up with, because one of the things that people have noted is the fact that the people who are taking part in these protests are people who have not been a part of politics before. Is that the case?
Yes, that's the second major characteristic of that movement. If we speak of the real yellow vests people, the real ones, because after, of course, you have others who came, but for the big majority of them, it's the first time they were activists for the first time, and it's a rather paradoxical situation, which is these people who began for the first time in their life, for the majority of them, to enter in an activist activity, they are still going on month and month afterwards. So, I mean, behind this, I mean, it's behind this, I think you, there is something which is very, you know, in the background of this. I think there is a very essential problem in the evolution of the French society, which is you had a trend of a growing precarization of society, less and less long-term job contracts, more and more short-term, inconsistent, precarious job contract, and a general social insecurity growing up in France. And Macron, who was badly elected, very badly elected, but he has no political history as he has not been elected before. He didn't understand that he was so badly elected that he should have been progressive, careful in the way he implemented his politics. On the contrary, he attacked and attacked and attacked. And people are feeling that. When the Yellow Vest people who are supposed not to be political, because it's the first time they were in activity, speaks, not only they speak very well on their condition, but they express this very well. We are entering in a new in a new era, and we don't want that era. We don't want to get into that new era which Macron is preparing. So I think that's really the background. And there are two reasons, I think, for which people address the state and Macron for a change of politics, and not the bosses. Because that's a characteristic of the movements. They ask for increase of wages and so on, but they ask it to the president. They don't ask it to the bosses. I think there are two reasons. First, the relationship of forces in the workplace in France is now very bad, which is either you have precarious workers which are not in a situation to fight, or where you have strongholds, like in the railway sector or the post office sector, in public services, what remains of the public services. There have been strong struggles, but they have been defeated. They have been defeated. So in the workplace, the relationship is very weak today. And so I think it's two reasons. You have a very vertical presidential system in France. So Macron is a super, I mean, he thinks he can control everything. I can give an example, but he is really, for him, to govern is to control everything. Why everybody knows is to govern is to share responsibilities normally. But he has to come. He even puts spies in all the ministries. His own spy in all the ministries to report directly to him what the ministers are doing in the government. He's a psycho like Sarkozy and so on. French presidential system produce psychotype of very easily. So they address. So you have these two. We are too weak in the workplace to win, and you have a very centralized presidential political system in France. So we address Macron, because he's the one who can change the politics.
Like this, you mentioned before that Macron, in a sense, kind of is, it's as though capital is ruling directly over society, and that's kind of what Macron represents. So, in a sense, I mean, Macron managed to defeat the railway workers last year, and there have been movements of workers against Macron so far, but none, it seems, has been able to have the same impact that the Yellow Vest movement has been able to have, which numerically is, I mean, in terms of French standards, it's relatively small in terms of the numbers that are coming out. I have a question then for why is it that this movement in particular has, on the one hand, been able to have the impact against Macron that it has, where other movements have failed, but also how has it sustained itself for almost 5 months now?
First, the Yellow Vests have been very popular, supported by 70-80% of the population, and still today there is a very broad support, which is there is still a majority support for the Yellow Vest in the French population, but there is the question of violences. So on the question of the violences, the opinion is divided, including among the Yellow Vests now, I would say. But it's because, as I mentioned, it started on a very specific issue, the taxation of gasoline, but it expressed the situation, you know, the acuteness of the social situation and the growing precarity in French society. So all those who didn't involved in the Yellow Vest movement, it's by procuration. The fight of the Yellow Vest is their fight. I give you an example which will show the change of situation. For example, when you had in 95, if my memory is good, the general strike in the transport system, there was a very big support in the population, including all the workers working in the private sector, while they had to walk all the time because the transport system was on strike, blocked. And we were walking happily because the fight of the transport system, of the public services, especially the transport system, was seen as defending the needs of the majority of the population at the same time. So even if it was a mess, even if it put private sector's employees in a difficult situation, they were supporting. So I would say it's a bit the same phenomenon, but it tells you something about the retreat of the organized labor movement. Because in 95 it was the trade union movement in the public sector, and now it's the newcomers, new militants of the Yellow Vest. So it's another aspect why the Yellow Vest exists. The Yellow Vest exists as they exist because the French labor movement has been defeated, and very badly, which raised many questions, of course. And why do they continue? Of course, you had a big decrease in the number of people, but it can mobilize each Saturday. It was not so small at the start in numbers. It's about, you know, at one point in time, it was something like 300,000 people. Yeah. 300,000 people, it's about the same number than the latest phase of the biggest general strikes in the labor movement. 300,000. If you go back a bit more back in the past, it could be 500,000, 600,000. But in the recent period, 300,000, it's, you know, it matched the number of people. After you have, you know, because they were first-time activists, many of them, you know, and because of the form the movement take, which is the rond-point, the
roundabout.
The roundabout, you know, the well car, something like that. So many people who were in a very isolated situation joined the rond-point movement, which was the original form of the movement. They tied many links. They find themselves engaged in a collective with very fraternal relationship, which were tied. So it was a process of socialization at the same time. Before, each one was alone in front of it, his or her problems. Now they were collectively realizing that they had the same problems, and they were creating a family. So in many local Yellow Vest, the first formal organization of the Yellow Vest, you had the creation of small communities, families, let's say, and they don't want to go back to isolation. And then you had the march, the Saturday, because Macron was the target of the demands, you had to go to Paris. Also, each Saturday, people began to come to Paris after it diversified. I can come back on that. But so you have the sentiment, we have done so much that we cannot just abandon. We have to win something. We have to win something. And for the time being, what has been won, symbolically, it showed that Macron was, you know, really on the defensive at the beginning of the year, but it's peanuts, and they know it, it's peanuts. So you have this sentiment, you know, we have paid so much of time, energy, ourselves, and so on, we don't want to stop before we win something significant. So yesterday evening, Macron was supposed to speak to say what measures he will take after all these months. But the Cathedral of Notre Dame went on fire, as you probably know. So he postponed, because all the media was, of course, showing the fire of Notre Dame de Paris, and if he has spoken at that time, I think many channels wouldn't have said much about. So he has to postpone, so we don't know yet when he will speak again or what he will say. But it's very probable, of course, he will not change course. While the demand is to change course, not just peanuts, you know, small measures, but to change the course. So then you have the issue of violence, which for a long time the violence was felt by the majority of the Gilets Jaunes as legitimate, because it was just a reaction to the violence of society. And that's a very important aspect of what the Gilets Jaunes said and how it was spread in France. Because they were saying, media always speak of the violence of the demonstrators, for example, but they don't speak of the daily violence we are confronted to. So that notion that you know, subaltern working class layers are faced to very strong social violence daily, has been understood much better than before for a long time in French society. And I think that is one of the very positive aspects of the Yellow Vest.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how the Gilets Jaunes organize themselves?
First, the Gilets Jaunes network. They are networking through Facebook, social media. They have been very inventive. It's very interesting, which is each time, you know, something was becoming too routinous, they invented new proposals to keep the movement joining and moving. So, for example, there was first the local yellow vests mode of organization, and Saturdays in Paris. Then they began to call for regional or national gathering in other part of France than just Paris. And they renewed their themes, their demands, and they enlarged them. So there have been, it's very interesting because it's a movement which has been reactive, finding ways to continue in spite of the odds, something like that.
Marine Le Pen was very quick to express her support for the Yellow Vest movement, and indeed across the world, many far-right individuals and groups have expressed their, you know, some sort of support. Matteo Salvini in Italy, for example, did this as well. So now, there's no evidence that the far right, at least on the ground, is part of organising the movement or anything like that. But to what extent, is the far right? Are there ideas present in the movement or are a part of the movement, or is this completely a myth? What do you think about that?
Well, I think because that was the question we had in our mind at the beginning of the movement. Is it manipulated by the far right? And I think the left of the left was too slow in supporting the Yellow Vest and engaging with the Yellow Vest. Because it was coming from nowhere. You see, it was not in the normal setting, unknown people, and things like that. Well, all studies showed that it was not the case. It was not the creation of the far right. I think the majority feeling in the Yellow Vest movement is to say we are not represented by any party. We are not represented by those Yellow Vest participants who engage in politics and who will perhaps run for the elections. We are out of that. We are out of party politics. Basically, it's something like 100,000 people active or have been active, will be active tomorrow, and things like that. It's diverse. I mean, it's completely diverse. It's as diverse as French society, something like that. So they don't think in terms of political representation and political support and votes and so on. So the thing is, in the French situation, you have two movements face to face, which is Macron and Marine Le Pen movements. They are dominating the political confrontation in French political scene. So the Rassemblement National, I don't know how to translate Rassemblement National, the former National Front. That changed their name. It's just a change of name.
National Rally.
National Rally, you see in English. at the National Rally, National Front, they are in a position to benefit from the crisis opened by the Yellow Vest, which is they are not the expression of the Yellow Vest. They are not supported by the Yellow Vest as a collectivity. There will be people who are going to vote Marine Le Pen, as some people will vote for Mélenchon, as many people will not vote. That's it. Possibly the majority of them will just not vote. But she is in a position to benefit from the unsetting of the regime provoked by the Yellow Vest. For example, La France Insoumise, they don't benefit for the time being. One reason is they don't look for a father figure, and it's around Mélenchon who is a father figure. So I think we have to differentiate the two. Who are politically the Yellow Vest? The Yellow Vest are politically a great variety, because it's people who are not organized and that just reflect French society. Seen from below, can I add something, which is because you have two processes. You have the Yellow Vest process, which is composite socially, but essentially popular, and you had the big debate, Greek debate, organized by Macron. I never saw that in my life, because Macron organized a format, I think, assembly of debates organized by him. There is a social difference, very clear, between those who participated to Yellow Vest and those who participated to the Macron organized debate. Those who participate in the Macron organized debates are university diploma, middle class, high middle class, and low middle class, which will go with the Yellow Vest. So the social content of the two processes are different. And the Yellow Vest never recognized themselves in the grand debate, in this big debate organized by Macron. But that meant that Macron, for months, ran de facto an electoral campaign where he was the only candidate and where there was no time limit. One day he spoke 6 hours. And because you had the violence issue, he regained some authority among the right-wing voters. But also he overdid it. At the end, people were absolutely fed up of the grand debate, because even all the TV was all the time centering on that. Everybody was fed up of Macron speaking. Overdid it. The big question for Macron is that what he will say now.
So there's this movement that began with 300,000 people. The numbers have somewhat declined, but there's still popular support for the movement within France. And it's continuing. I think it's, what, the 22nd week, I think, that they just completed, the 22nd act of the weekly protests. And against that, there's been fierce police repression of, you know, the CRS and so on, as you mentioned, the deployment of what they call non-lethal weapons, but have caused serious injury to people and so on. So this is the climate that exists today. So where to next for the Yellow Vest?
First, can I speak about the repression? You mentioned the repression, and Macron authoritarian state, because it's an important element to take into account. The movement continued in spite of an unprecedented wave of repression, since 68, something like that. There have been 2,000 people condemned, which 60% of them for Czech. And there are still 1,800 trials to come. So nearly 4,000 trials in total. You had 8,700 people put temporary in jail before deciding if they were going to be put to court or not. It's enormous. And then you have the violence of the police, which is, I mean, listening to our Minister of Interior is incredible, because he said, basically he said, the only problem was if we kill someone. But they have handicapped for life more than 100 people, using grenade, various type of grenade launchers. So these weapons are used by the French police, but forbidden in most European countries. And these are not weapons designed to kill, but they are weapons which can kill. Semi-lethal. They are not lethal, but semi-lethal, because at least, I think 22 people lost an eye, for example. Many others lost a hand, or had their knee broken, or have their foot finished for life. So I think there are more than 100 people who are handicapped for life, meaning having lost an eye, a hand, a knee, or a foot. Our Minister of Interior consider this, you know, it's their fault. They didn't have to be there. He's saying, what can we do else? Do you want us to fire? But without saying, in other European countries, it never happens. The German police is not exactly very tender, but it doesn't use this type of semi-lethal weapons, which, you know, it's by tens of thousands the numbers of grenades which have been used during these months. Now, how they can continue? There are several proposals. But first, it will continue as a social, more or less formal movement. So it revealed something. There is a collective consciousness which was formed for all this, and this will not disappear. I would say even if the Yellow Vest movement in its present form finally, you know, exhausted itself, that will keep on going on, and it will revive under future forms. But there are a number of proposals to keep the movement so there's the first thing which is very important is what is Macron going to say, because if what says Macron is seen as too provocative, and Macron, you know, Macron is someone who cannot hide his class nature, his class nature of the world. He speaks, you know, he despises low people. It's a real, you know, he cannot hide the fact that he despises them. It's one reason for which there is such anger against him in France. It's, you know, a normal politician is able to hide that aspect. Macron is unable to hide, and it costs him very much. But I mean. It can provoke a big reaction of anger, what he's going to say. We don't see as an immediate thing. But there are a number of proposals. I give you two examples. I think I mentioned it already. A big gathering in Brussels at the time of the European elections to protest against the authoritarian character of the European Union and the French politics, and another big day to ask for the annulation of all the condemnation of the Yellow Vests, the freeing those who are in jail and cancelling the condemnation of the others. And I mean, that's part of the, you know, whatever the differentiation which can happen among the Yellow Vests and things like this, there is, I think, one thing which is a big cement, which is their feeling in solidarity with the victims of the repression. So that's another appointment, let's say, for the May, if I remember well, proposal of demonstration also on that issue.
Oh, that is quite an abrupt ending. Okay.